This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, September 23rd, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. How many federal judges come from being advocates for the government? And how many come from advocating for individuals, groups, and companies against the government? The answer might not surprise you, but Cato's Clark Neely explains why that matters for courts. His new study is available today at cato.org. There's a pretty widespread belief that judges are more likely to be former prosecutors than former defense attorneys. And at least within the realm of elected judges, I can see why people might suspect that, because criminal defense attorneys are often defending people who are unpopular, and those are often used in television ads against them. At the federal level, what do we know about the breakdown of judges?
So there is this perception that the surest way to become a federal judge is to first be a prosecutor. Interestingly, no one ever actually looked to see if that was true. In other words, no one ever studied the professional background of every sitting federal judge to determine whether, in fact, prosecutors and other former government advocates are disproportionately represented on the federal judiciary. So we did that. We actually looked at all of the 755 non-senior status Article III judges, and we found that the perception is absolutely correct. And if you look, for example, just at the ratio of former prosecutors to former criminal defense attorneys, it's 4-1. If you broaden that, as we did, and compare former advocates, former courtroom advocates for government, both civil and criminal, to former advocates for individuals against government, so criminal defense attorneys, including public defenders and civil rights attorneys like ACLU or Institute for Justice, the ratio jumps to 7-1. So the bottom line is that the federal judiciary is wildly imbalanced in favor of former advocates for government as compared to people who chose the other career path and advocated or represented individuals against the government.
So why would that matter? You could say, look, prosecutors are just as good at judging facts of cases. Is it a matter of bias, or is it something else? Why we should care about that?
Right. So I think most people have an intuition that whenever you've got a process for adjudicating disputes, that you want to avoid a situation where you've got a significant number of people who have a professional background that might incline them to sort of see the world in a particular way. And I'll give you a very concrete example. If you are a criminal defense attorney, the likelihood that you are going to be seated on a criminal jury are infinitesimally small. Why? Because prosecutors are going to use their peremptory strikes to eliminate you from the jury pool. And it's nothing personal, but prosecutors have the same intuition that the rest of us do, that there are certain people, because of their professional backgrounds, who are probably going to see this case a certain way. And criminal defense attorneys do the exact same thing. If you're a prosecutor, you are very unlikely to be seated on a criminal jury. Why? Because the defense counsel is probably going to strike you. This, I would say, we can broaden this and say that in all kinds of settings, the idea that an adjudicative body would be composed disproportionately of people who used to play for the other team is concerning. So imagine a football fan, imagine a Michigan fan, and your teams play in Ohio State, and 3 out of 4 officials on that officiating crew are former Buckeyes. They're alums of Ohio State. And there are no former Wolverines on that officiating crew. Is that going to bother you? Absolutely. And is that a personal comment on the professionalism or the neutrality of any of those officials? Absolutely not. It's just looking at that officiating crew and saying, wait, why is this officiating crew wildly imbalanced in favor of people who used to play for the opposing team? That doesn't look right. And that is precisely the case with the federal judiciary. It is wildly disproportionately composed of judges who used to play for the other team. If you're an individual challenging the government in court, whether in a criminal or a civil case, what you're looking at is a bench full of judges who are disproportionately likely to have played for the opposing team.
If nobody had looked at this before as an empirical matter, presumably, perhaps people have never looked at how those judges tend to rule. Is that the next step in this research, or do we have some data on that?
I think it would be extraordinarily difficult to sort of try to establish that the disproportionate composition of the federal judiciary that is, again, wildly imbalanced in favor of former government advocates leads to, you know, specific outcomes in specific cases. But I would say this as a kind of a counterfactual, just ask yourself, what if the federal judiciary for the past, you know, let's say 60 or 70 years, instead of being composed of 4-to-1 former prosecutors versus former criminal defense attorneys, had been composed 4-to-1 of former criminal defense attorneys versus prosecutors? Do you think that the Fourth Amendment jurisprudence would look different? Do you think that other provisions in the Bill of Rights or the legal interpretation of those provisions would look different? It absolutely would look different. And the entire criminal justice system would look a lot different, not because, again, any individual judge is incapable of you know, honoring their oath to support the Constitution and to be neutral in any given case. It's just that we know that people's professional experiences, just like their other life experiences, shape their worldview. And in the aggregate, that is absolutely going to have an effect on the outcome in particular cases, but even more so on the contours of legal doctrine. There's just no question about it. And I think you would get you'd get very strong pushback, I would imagine, from prosecutors if there were a proposal to reconstitute the federal judiciary so that it was imbalanced 4-to-1 in favor of former criminal defense attorneys, and then have that be the composition of the judiciary for the next 60 or 70 years to see if we can sort of even things out. My guess is that prosecutors would be strongly opposed to that plan.
So, assuming that's not on the table, what ought to be done, if anything, in particular to correct the imbalance? I mean, we don't know what that imbalance delivers as an empirical matter necessarily. But we do know that, as you said, prosecutors probably would oppose a plan to flip the ratio. But to the extent that that balance is valuable, what ought to be done to correct it?
Well, the good news is that there's a very simple solution to this, and that is to have a temporary moratorium on nominating former prosecutors to the bench until the imbalance, until the disproportion is at least somewhat evened up. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, perfect 50-50. I don't think anybody's advocating for that. Certainly we're not. But until that balance is significantly, or I should say that imbalance is significantly ameliorated, just don't nominate any former prosecutors to the bench unless, you know, for example, they have experience on both sides. Certainly, you know, if you've been both a prosecutor and a defense attorney, that's different. But if the only thing you've ever done in terms of representing the government or challenging the government is that you've played for one side only and you've just been a prosecutor, then I would advocate for a moratorium on nominating those kinds of people to the bench until the disproportion evens out. And the president should favor and go out of his way to identify nominees with significant experience representing individuals in court against the government, whether as criminal defense attorneys or civil rights lawyers, who are vastly underrepresented currently on the federal judiciary. And it's important because if you think about the judiciary, it's really the federal judiciary is almost a kind of an ecosystem, and you have all kinds of different sort of interactions and conversations and discussions that occur among judges. And when one perspective, the former government lawyer perspective, is wildly overrepresented, which it is, the nature of that conversation among judges is going to be different. And if you even it up, if you have people who spent a big chunk of their career opposing government in roughly equal numbers to people who spent their careers advocating for government, you're going to have a much, much different conversation among judges. And that's going to produce a much, much different, or we can almost predict with great certainty that that will produce a significantly different legal and constitutional doctrine, one that is very likely to be less pro-government, less deferential, less inclined to give government the benefit of the doubt, and more inclined to play it straight down the middle between government officials and individuals when they square off against each other in court.
Clark Neely is Vice President for Criminal Justice at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.